Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Hello, hello, and welcome to Joyful Eating, episode number 125. So today we're going to be talking about losing weight without learning to cook. So I'm going to share a conversation I had with Maria, who's one of my clients in the most recent group of the Naturally Healthy Club. And Maria, like someone who doesn't ever cook, hasn't ever seen herself as a cook, and I won't spoil the surprise, but you can find out how her journey to become a naturally healthy person has gone without her even having to chop a single thing. Welcome, Maria. I'm so excited to have an opportunity to talk to you about your experience in the Naturally Healthy Club. Let's start out, go back in time. And before you joined the Naturally Healthy Club, like, what was your relationship with food and your body like?
Yeah, so I think my relationship with food was just out of control. So I definitely felt like I couldn't say no to kind of anything that was put in front of me. It was very much a see food and eat it. If it was offered, I would eat it. So I think it was just that kind of basic feeling of being out of control around food. Food was controlling me. I wasn't in control of it. Very much felt like the clock was ticking sort of between every meal.
Hanging out for the next meal, right?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So every meal was kind of a clock ticking experience, sort of almost eating every meal. And certainly if it was a treat food or, you know, I was out for a meal, very much like it was the last time I would ever experience that food.
The last supper eating every day.
Every meal as if it was your last. I think in terms of my body, my relationship with my body was very uncomfortable and sort of very sort of self-conscious of my body and just feeling kind of uncomfortable, sort of an out-of-body experience. That was sort of my experience, I suppose, with food and with my body, or my relationship with food and with my body. Not really comfortable with either.
And so what were your biggest concerns or worries about joining the Naturally Healthy Club before we started?
My biggest concern was that I can't cook.
Ah, yes.
Because my experience of other, dare I say it, diet programs, which is not what Naturally Healthy Club is about, was that being able to cook and having a certain creativity around food and healthy eating is almost a prerequisite of those programs. So that kind of really was my biggest kind of concern. Would I succeed? Would I fail at this? Because I'd fail at the first hurdle. Other concerns were sort of the program not living up to, I suppose, what I'd read about it, or the sort of initial sell, which has turned out not to be true. You know, what if I couldn't kind of make all the calls? What if I got left behind? You know, what if I went on holiday? What would happen? Would it be a bit like a boot camp? And I think the second biggest concern, aside from not being able to cook, was that I'd actually never been coached before.
Ah, right.
I knew that this was very much a coaching style program. That was all a bit new to me, so didn't really know. And as a British person, we're not very touchy-feely. Wasn't sure how that would go. Would I take to that? How would it work? Would it work? You know, how would, if it was a kind of coaching style program, how, if we were in a group, could that be made personal to me if it was a kind of group coaching? And I think as well as that, I've never done anything like this in a group before. So all of the things I've tried in the past have been solo. So almost that kind of pressure to be social.
Wow, that's a lot.
a lot of concerns, yeah. And, you know, maybe concerns in common with other people.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they're definitely. So what made you, what tipped you over? Like what made you decide, even though you had all those concerns before?
I think I was just at a stage where I was just willing to try something different. I knew I needed to do something different. Everything I'd tried in the past to gain a control of my relationship with food and my body hadn't really worked for one reason or another. And I just felt like I didn't want or need to repeat the things I'd done before, because there was no point in that. I knew I had to kind of open my mind to a different possibility. So even though I didn't know all the answers to those questions and concerns, I was at a stage where I was willing to be open-minded and give it a go.
Yeah, amazing.
And I think your reassurance, Susan, you know, when we kind of spoke about the program in the early days, you know, I know we kind of had some chats, and your reassurance has helped just settle those concerns, and not obviously answer the questions, because I had to experience the program for myself to alleviate all those concerns. But I think it was enough to sort of just kind of get them started.
Yeah. So I guess everyone's probably wondering, Maria, have you started cooking? Did you have to overcome that hurdle?
No.
Yes. Isn't it amazing?
No.
You can just keep eating the same stuff, but just eat less of it.
So that, I suppose, has been sort of the most surprising thing about it all, that hasn't been an issue. In fact, that was a myth about my relationship with food that I was able to put to bed, and really had to put to bed, in order to move on with the program. And yes, it took me a few weeks and a bit of kind of unraveling to sort of get to grips with that. But, you know, I'm now of the firm belief that my lack of ability to cook or my lack of interest in cooking is in no way, shape or form responsible for my relationship with food. So detangling those two, I think, has been probably one of the biggest revelations of the program for me. Yeah.
So good.
I think that kind of unraveling and that detanglement has then freed me up to do the work to then obviously regain my relationship with food and control over my body.
Because you didn't have to like turn into a cooking machine and also do the work. It was just like, okay, cooking's off the table. We don't have to worry about that. And you could just focus on the eating part and your like how you're thinking about food. So good. So what's been your favorite part of doing this work, Maria?
I think just learning to enjoy food again and take pleasure in eating without that guilt of where it's come from. Have I cooked it? No. But really learning to enjoy food again. And I hadn't realized that probably I really hadn't taken pleasure in food, despite the fact I was kind of eating a lot of food and not kind of setting boundaries. Yeah, I was kind of not really. Yeah, just not really kind of taking the pleasure in food and not really kind of enjoying what I was eating. So really, because of that, nothing was kind of satisfying me, if you're with me. And that just kind of led to overeating. So it's not having that satisfaction, but I think having the pleasure leads to the satisfaction, which, you know, just kind of stops that overeating mode. So really, that's been one of my favourite parts. And I think just kind of letting go of those, that guilt and those myths about not being able to cook and just that not being a part of it. And I've actually also, strangely, and again, I'm a Brit, I'm not hugely social. That's not the same for all Brits. I'm just not very social. So I'm not on social media, not really a fan of it. But actually, I've really enjoyed the social aspect of the group and the support that has given me. And it's now kind of become an essential part of the programme. And I don't think I could have done it without it.
Right. So the interaction and getting to know the other people and having the support. Yeah. And supporting other people. Isn't that amazing? Like,
absolutely. That surprised me. Yeah. It surprised me how that's just become an essential part of it and actually a part that I've wanted to be a part of.
Yeah. Not like I have to do this or I should be doing it. It's like I actually genuinely just want to connect because you're on the same journey as other people.
Yeah. And I think just opening your mind to that, I think has been of real value. I think if you maybe kind of go into this and you don't make use of that and don't make use of the support of the group, you know, you could kind of miss out on quite a bit of it. I think it's actually as much part of the program as the work.
Yeah, absolutely. As well, having a process and being coached, like actually having the support of the group is the integral part of it. Yeah.
For me, certainly, yeah.
Yeah. So good, Maria. And what's been the biggest transformation that you got?
Well, inevitably, I've kind of come to a point where, you know, I have lost weight, but it's not really just about the weight. You know, that's given me a huge amount of self-confidence. It's allowed me to feel good about myself again. That feeling of kind of self-worth and that feeling good and acceptance of myself has also then kind of motivated me to make more change. So it's become a bit of a kind of a circle of change. It's kind of propelled me. And motivated me to do that. So just regaining that self-confidence. And I think it's not only a physical self-confidence, it's also more a mental self-confidence as well. So it's a mental and a physical. So I no longer feel like I'm this person that's living in someone else's body. And, you know, I do feel that I've now kind of got now a peacefulness and a calmness around food that I didn't have before. For instance, a big transformation is that holidays have become so much more enjoyable, because holidays were just obsessively about food before. I would just obsess about kind of where we were going for the next meal and how hungry was I, and kind of being afraid of feeling hungry, maybe, because that was a bad thing. And holidays are just kind of so much more peaceful and calm because they're not all about food. If they are about food, they're about food in a good way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wanting to enjoy the food, especially if you're abroad and you're eating different types of food. That's been quite a revelation for me. And I think also a bit of a side effect as well. There is a bit of a transformation, and this is a bit of a phase two, and I haven't kind of got there yet, but it's now given me a little bit of curiosity about actually wanting to cook and prepare my own food.
Oh my goodness.
So, I can see phase two coming out of this. Because I've now taken more of a pleasure in food and I'm enjoying it again, I'm getting a bit more fussy about it. So I'm thinking, well, that didn't really taste great. But you know what? If I'd have prepared it, I'd have had more control over it. So it's now I've kind of got a bit of a want and a bit of a desire to sort of think, well, what would that be like? So, yeah, that's kind of promoted those kind of thoughts.
Yeah, wow. You never know what's going to happen, Maria.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? You've come back to feeling like you're in your own body. And actually, what about your changing your relationship with your wardrobe? I remember you did some work around that.
Yeah, and that was a goal I set. So I really, part of my kind of regaining my self-confidence was to feel comfortable and confident in my clothes. And I've kind of got this notion that the wardrobe was a bit of a scary place. It was not my friend. So the wardrobe was full of kind of old clothes that I kept, which were from a different age, a different era. But for some reason, kind of you keep them hanging around like old friends. And I kind of wanted the wardrobe to be a friend that kind of supported me and supported who I am now at whatever kind of size that is. And I wanted to be able to go to the wardrobe and just be confident in anything kind of I dragged out of there and know that I would kind of look good and confident in those clothes. So that's kind of been one of my goals. And I've kind of been slowly working through that goal. I'm still working through that goal. But that's now definitely something that I feel, yes, the wardrobe is my friend. And that's been quite a big thing for me. I suppose for some people it might be the mirror. But for me, it was the wardrobe.
Wardrobe was the one that was like
yeah the wardrobe, you would open it and it would laugh at you, but I don't feel that way anymore.
Oh, I love that, changing your relationship with your wardrobe.
Now I go into my wardrobe with curiosity and go, what choice.
Oh, I love that. So you mentioned it like at the beginning, like before you started, that you were feeling out of control with around food. So how do you feel like in terms of control now?
I feel that I'm in control of what I eat. I feel that I'm intentional about what I eat, whether that's meals, whether it's snacks. I mean, I was in a meeting today at work and they just got a big tin of biscuits and they just kept passing it around. And I just kind of kept saying no, thank you. And it really wasn't an issue. I didn't feel I was depriving myself because I didn't really feel kind of that, I'd already had my lunch. I'd already got my own snack. It just kind of wasn't something I was interested in, whereas before I probably would have just eaten three and hoped nobody would notice.
Right.
I do feel like I'm now in control of what I eat.
Yeah, wow.
So definitely a feeling of control and peacefulness. I don't feel that food controls me anymore. I don't feel that something's put in front of me and I can't say no. I can actually, maybe I might do a little bit of self-coaching, if it's something particularly appetizing, I might think about it, but I think through the program I feel like I have the tools and the know-how to actually make a decision. And, somewhat I might choose to eat something if it's offered, and sometimes I might not, but I think it's that feeling of that degree of control and also being in control of the consequences. If I do eat it or if I don't, if I eat it, will that mean my weight will go up? Sort of just being in control of that whole chain of events, really, and having that awareness.
Yeah, like you're able to make just choices,
yeah,
from a place of like, I'm doing this, what I'm doing, what I want, and I didn't really want those biscuits, so it's not like a big drama. Yeah. So what surprised you most about being in the Naturally Healthy Club?
The one thing that surprised me was that I don't think you've ever once told us what to eat. And again, that's probably goes back to my kind of whole cooking phobia. But from every other program I've been on, it's all been about, and I thought obviously because it's a naturally healthy program, it would be around healthy eating in terms of what's a healthy food, what's not a healthy food, what's a good food, what's a bad food. Well, you should be eating more of this and less of this, and this is what your plate should look like. And I don't think there's, well, I know there's been none of that kind of conversation. The only time that we've talked about food is if someone's maybe got a particular question because maybe they've got, I don't know, an intolerance or something, and they're trying to sort of tailor something to them or bespoke it, but just no conversations around eat this, not that. And that's, I suppose, really, really surprising. There's no long list of kind of, this is your long list of healthy foods. You should pick from these five of these foods a day, and then you can only have one of these foods. It's a bit like kind of being an adult or an older child and being trusted to kind of make your own decisions, being given the tools or, you know, the money and the purse, and then kind of being trusted to spend it with the knowledge of what you've learned. No kind of pressure to sort of be a perfect cook and cook perfect meals and post pictures on the social media. It's not a cooking competition. So yeah, that's probably surprised me the most.
Yeah, I didn't make you eat any more broccoli.
No, I don't think we ever talked about broccoli.
Did we ever talk? No, we didn't.
Probably not.
Probably not. Amazing.
So yeah, just that not being told what to eat, and that kind of the decisions about what I eat are my own, and that has taken so much pressure off and just enabled me almost to make the program my own and fit it around my own lifestyle, including obviously, you know, forgiving myself for kind of what I eat, but it's all helped me to regain that relationship with food, a positive relationship with food. All food has value.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes we do want to eat biscuits because they remind us of something, like, and that's good too. Yeah.
And I think knowing that if you want them, you can have them, and it's up to you. Again, it's back to this kind of adult mentality of sort of being trusted. You've been given some tools, now you're being trusted with them. And I think having that sort of feeling of trust and trusting yourself, that it drives a different behavior.
Yeah, because you're doing it from like desire and from what you want rather than what someone else is telling you. Yeah.
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 You get, you know, if you're told to eat this and not that, or what you're going to do, eventually you're going to feel deprived and you'll rebel. And that's what happens every single time on, you know,
any diet.
It just kind of doesn't work, and you've then got this restriction mentality because nobody wants to be told what to do. And you can do it for a short term, but it's not sustainable, and that's the difference. I think the other thing that surprised me as well is that I think for me, I'm quite a sort of like logical and sciencey person, and I think what surprised me about myself in this is that I've kind of been willing to take a leap of faith and just almost trust you, trust the process, trust the coaching, trust the group. And that's been quite a leap of faith for me, which has been a bit unusual, but I knew I was ready to do it, and I knew I was willing to do it, and I wanted to do it. So it was a bit of a first. And I kind of found myself after a while thinking, I don't really need to understand how this works because it just does. You know, I don't delve into the science of it because you don't. It's not presented in that kind of way. And I think for anybody else, as long as they're willing to kind of take that almost like a little bit of a leap of faith, it can work, and it will work.
How do you feel about that skill of listening to your body now? Like,
I'm certainly starting on the path, and you know, I feel like I can listen to my body. I know when I've had enough to eat, and I can make that call. And that's something I couldn't do before. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. I think I'm still learning to a very large degree. So I feel like I've started on a skill, and there's more for me to learn. But definitely I'm on the path to understanding my body a lot more and also understanding the consequences of my actions. So I think in terms of being in tune with my body, I understand if I do this, then that will lead to that and that will lead to that. If I do this or eat this, maybe, you know, I'll put on a pound on the scale tomorrow. But I also know that I'm in control of that as well. I think it's, yes, I am learning to kind of understand my body a lot better. Than certainly I did before. Well, I don't think I had any understanding of how my body kind of reacted to different things. And I think that's not just about the body as well. I think it's as much about the mind. And again, I have a lot to learn there, but the importance of understanding how your mind works in tandem with your body, I think, is just as important to learn those skills as well. How our feelings, how our thoughts, how our emotions. And I've had lots of examples of kind of when that's happened and it's maybe not happened so well, or sometimes I've kind of been in control of it, and all those are learning opportunities. So the whole notion of how your kind of mind works in tandem with your body, I think, is a really important skill to learn. And I'm definitely on the journey of certainly being very much more aware of that, even if I haven't perfected those skills yet.
Wow. So it's like you're still on the journey, but you've already got so many more change. Yeah.
I kind of want to do more work on that, which is unusual for me, because I didn't think that that is something that I would kind of, I just didn't think that's something that I would kind of register with or that would resonate with me. But I understand the importance of it, and I understand how they are so interlinked.
Yeah. I guess once you've had a taste for that, it feels good to do that, then you want to expand and go deeper with it.
And understanding yourself a bit better as well. And in understanding yourself better, you kind of almost understand other people better. So I think the program kind of goes maybe wider than people might think.
Yeah. So in the group, we don't really talk about like weight in terms of like how much people are losing, but I'm kind of curious, Maria, would you mind sharing how much you've lost?
In English money, I've lost a stone and a half, which I think is £21.
Amazing.
And I've only got probably about another pound or £2 to go until I reach the goal that I set myself, which actually I will probably reach in the next week or two, hopefully, which is a lot earlier than I thought that would happen.
Has there been anything hard about that, Maria?
No, it's not been hard. I think at times it's been, I don't know. I think at the start, the only thing I would say that was perhaps a little bit hard was to sort of unravel your previous thinking.
Like the diet mentality?
Yeah. So sort of almost detangling previous experience, previous thoughts, because those thoughts can be quite ingrained and locked in. If you spent years and years and years in certain mentalities and different programs and you've tried different things, it'd be quite hard to undo a lot of that thinking. So I think that's what I found hard, but only initially, until we kind of got going, and then you start to see results and the kind of wheel starts to turn, you know, and then you kind of start to get in motion with it, and then you can kind of put some of that stuff to bed. So I think the only thing that I found hard, I think, was sort of decoupling some of my prior thinking and sort of almost uncoupling those thoughts, putting them to kind of one side, sort of my thoughts about cooking and all this kind of responsibility or guilt that I attached to it. But in terms of the actual work itself, no, I don't think the work itself has been hard at all, because I think it's been so gradual and so incremental. There's nothing that you've asked us to do that has actually been hard. You know, in fact, some weeks I've gone, oh, is that it? You know, why are we doing that? and
well, isn't there more?
You know, there's obviously evil genius behind all these things, but it's very much a kind of incremental program. And I suppose I would describe you as the Mr. Miyagi from Karate Kid of naturally healthy eating.
Right, there we go. That's a very big compliment.
Very good. Yeah, it's a wax on, wax off process. Just this whole kind of you know, you build up and you build up slowly, and there's nothing that anybody's asked to do that is like really hard or restrictive or, you know, that punishes yourself or let's test your willpower this week. No, none of that. Everything is so gentle. It's gentle work at a gentle pace, but each week builds on the last, and you're never behind. So, you know, you're kind of always on track with the program. Even if you've missed a call or two calls, you can kind of always pick up where you left off, and there's no drama. There's no drama about missing something, or, you know, you're not going to be punished about it. So I think just the gentleness of the whole program is really what makes it in that respect.
Yeah. And have there been any foods that you haven't been eating, Maria, that you've been missing out on, anything?
Well, funnily enough, I kind of stopped eating bread.
Interesting.
That's been a big positive for me. I hadn't realised what a negative impact bread was having on me for so many reasons. And I didn't cut it out because I was kind of denying myself. I kind of ended up cutting it out just because I wanted to, because I thought something isn't working here. I wonder if it's bread. I wonder what it would be like not eating bread.
Let's do an experiment.
I was the type that, but I was curious enough to do it without feeling I was missing out on something. And I still eat bread now, just maybe very occasionally, but certainly not religiously every day like I was doing. And actually, that's had a really positive effect on me. So maybe it wasn't doing me that good before, and I just hadn't realised it.
Yeah, amazing. So you're doing it from this place of, yeah, I don't really want it, but if I do want some bread, I'm going to have it. So it's not like a big deal. It's not like you've gone, okay, Maria's going keto.
No, none of that. No, so I've never done anything like fasting or, oh, I don't know, cutting out certain foods. I eat meat, but I'm not a massive meat eater. I can take it or leave it. Yes, okay, maybe I should eat more vegetables and fruit like a lot of people, but I'll have them if I want them, if I feel like them. You know, it's more about the, and obviously the program teaches you this, but it's more about the kind of overall quantity of food that you're eating, not necessarily, that's more important than actually kind of what you're eating, and having those boundaries around foods that aren't bad foods, they're just kind of maybe foods that you should be aware of, maybe having a boundary around. I'll have a bit of cheese as a treat, I won't eat a whole block.
I'm just kind of curious, Maria, because I think like one thing that a barrier for a lot of people in starting to do work like this is that they feel like it's going to take a lot of energy and effort, and it's going to take up a lot of their time. So I'm kind of curious to see like how much like time and attention have you had to devote to your work?
I've obviously had to give it some time and some mindset and some energy, because I think unless you're willing to do that, it won't work. But it's very much something that fits around your life. So yes, okay, I spend maybe 5 minutes in the morning setting out my plan for the day and doing what we call our kind of daily practice. And I do that while I'm kind of eating my breakfast. So, you know, it's no drama. It's no extra time in my day. It's just time I'm probably spending more wisely than perhaps I would before, scrolling on my phone or reading emails or something like that. You know, the benefit of joining the weekly calls and joining that live, so that, you know, that you're kind of joining that and having the opportunity for live coaching is a good thing if you have the time to do that. But if you don't, then, you know, it's not really a drama. So I think you do have to put some time aside, but we're not talking a great deal. You know, we're talking maybe 5-10 minutes a day, and, you know, maybe an hour a week. And that's not really an awful lot of time to invest if you're ready to invest in your own health. But the rest of it meshes with your life. You know, it runs alongside. It is your life. It's not additional. It's not an extra.
Yeah, like you're eating what you're eating anyway. So you're not taking extra time to eat or think about stuff. Yeah.
You're just thinking differently about it.
I'm so glad to hear that, Marie, because that's when I sell it, I say that that's what my promise is. It's like 5 minutes a day and then 1 hour a week. So glad to hear that that's been your experience.
And sometimes I'll even listen to the podcast of the weekly call in my car on the way to work. You know, there's obviously two podcasts a week because there's two calls, and, you know, I might listen to the other one in the car. But actually, I'm doing that because I want to do it. And when you start doing it, it sort of starts getting a bit addictive as well. So you kind of find that you want to do it. So I really don't think it's a huge time investment in terms of, and certainly shouldn't be seen as something separate. You're kind of doing it because you want to do it, and you're looking forward to that next weekly call, and you're doing that 5 or 10 minutes daily because you know that it works and because you want to do it. You know, if you don't do it, it kind of won't work, and, you know, things will start reversing. So you're not kind of doing it out of a place of fear, you're just kind of doing it out of a place of because you know this is what works, and you know this is becoming who you are, so it's supporting you.
Amazing. Oh, thank you so much, Maria. I really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat. Actually, before we go, so who would you recommend the Naturally Healthy Club to?
I mean, of course, anybody that wants to get control back over, I suppose, food. People that are feeling kind of out of control of their relationship with food, or that food is controlling them. Certainly anybody that wants to do that. And I think if someone is kind of driven maybe just to lose weight, and just wants a weight loss program, I don't know, but you've really got to start changing your thinking, I think. So it's people that are willing to change the thinking about where that's coming from and what you kind of need to address in order for that to happen, because weight loss is really just kind of an outcome and a result of actually what your thinking is and how you're changing your thinking. So I would recommend it to people that are open-minded to start changing their thinking about what they need to do to achieve that and what they need to address. And to, if you're willing to kind of open your mind and start thinking a little bit differently and be open-minded to that coaching and to just a different way of thinking about things, then yes, definitely people like that. I would also say people that are ready to do the work and that have a real want to make a change, and you know, that are in kind of the right mindset to just maybe accept a bit of different thinking and to undertake a bit of a leap of faith.
Right, and to try a different approach.
Absolutely. But certainly I think anybody who feels that they have tried and failed in the past and things have not worked, or they've worked for a while and it's always been a short-term fix and not a long-term sustainable, anybody that feels that they've not had a sustainable long-term solution around their relationship with food, this program is definitely for them.
Right. So your self-concept has changed, Maria. Yeah. So actually seeing yourself as someone who has a healthy relationship with food now.
It has, yeah. Yeah. I've still got work to do, but I see that as a definite, that's who I am.
Oh, thank you so much, Maria. I really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat.
I appreciate you having me, Jules, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about the work that we've done. It's been really enjoyable. And as I say, I'm still on the journey, but yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so if you're curious whether it's possible for you to be like Maria and lose weight with ease without having to start like cooking and spending your weekends prepping like healthy meals, but instead just learning to this simple skill of learning to listen to your body and stop eating when your body's had enough. And if you want to be like Maria, where you stop feeling like you're living in someone else's body, like where you actually feel at home in your own body, and also where you like have that changing relationship with your wardrobe as well, where you open your wardrobe and you feel good about what you see. So if any of that sounds good to you, or you're curious about whether that's possible for you, then join me for my free masterclass. It's on Thursday, the 20th of July, that's Sydney time. And so for all the details, you'll need to register to get the Zoom link. So you just need to go to my blog, which is thestonesoup.com/events to register and to get all the details. And if you're listening to this after the 20th of July, 2023, then if you go to the events page, then you'll be able to put in your details and you'll automatically get the replay. And I invite you to, if you've got a friend, a sister, brother, you know, anyone in your life who you think might also benefit from learning to listen to their bodies, then you know, tell them about it and send them a link. The link to the events page so they can turn up as well. So I'm starting a revolution and I would love it if you would come and join us. Okay, catch you next week. Bye. Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. And I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup 6 Ingredients 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes so delicious they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wow, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week, so it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.